Book of Luke, chapter 10, starting from verse 25.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live.
Here we see the lawyer who knows the Bible. And the lawyers, I'm talking about the worldly lawyers, they have to know the law. If they want to present the case, they learn the law course. And so they can argue with the judge, according to this law, this person is not guilty. This lawyer is a biblical lawyer, knows the Bible very well. His name is not given, he says certain lawyers. Now this lawyer comes to Jesus Christ and the Word of God says he came to tempt him. There are certain people really wants to know what the truth is, and some people, they know something, means they are thinking they are smarter than you. And that's why sometimes people ask you some questions. So if we are smart enough, we can look at their eyes and see if they really want to know the truth or they just want to play smart. Jesus Christ said to this man, You are a lawyer. You know the law. Tell me what you think. But the law is written about it. If you want to go to heaven, what you should be doing? And then he gives the answer. When he gives the answer, according to the Old Testament, let's read and see if his answer is correct. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Let's go back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
Now here we see this man quoted the words from the Deuteronomy, quoted the words from the Leviticus, so he knew the law. He knew what he's supposed to do. But he might be thinking, there is not a single person can live according to the scriptures, so Jesus Christ might have some other way to tell me to go to heaven. The Word of God says our Lord is one. You cannot worship some other gods and be so religious and thinking that I will go to heaven. Jesus Christ told him, tell me what the law you read and what you understand the law. And he said, you love the Lord from all thy heart. And he said, with all your soul and with all thine strength. So the Word of God says, when you praying to God, you're worshiping God, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, everything should be dedicated to God. When you pray or do the Lord's things, you should be completely dedicated. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if this commandment, any person in the world will follow, there will be no crimes, there will be no prisons, there will be no police officers, and life will be much more easier. Because if you love somebody like your own, then you are not going to cheat somebody, you are not going to kill somebody, you are not going to rob somebody, you are not going to envy somebody, you are not going to do anything which is wrong. You love the Lord and you love your neighbor. That's a perfect law. There are 10 commandments. Out of 10, if you do these two, you will make it to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ said to him, you want to go to heaven? Do these things. And then he answered the question. And Luke chapter 10 verse 28. Then Jesus said to him, You answer everything right. Do this, and you will have eternal life. Whatever he asked, Jesus approved him, said to him, you know the truth, you follow this truth, and you will go to heaven. But this man was not satisfied. He wanted to play more smart. So he's asking another question to Jesus Christ. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 29.
But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Now, when the word of God says, but he, willing to justify himself, and said unto Jesus, what does it mean, justify to himself? That means he is thinking, I'm righteous. I'm doing everything what the Bible is telling. What's wrong with me? That means he's saying, oh, I'm good with my neighbors. I'm good with my friends. I'm doing everything right. Now you tell me, when you say a neighbor, who is my neighbor? Because there are so many people living in the world, they have bad relationship with their neighbors. Only born again Christian people will have good relationship with their neighbors. In America, you don't know your neighbor's name. But the word of God saying, if you love the Lord, you love your neighbor. There was a man came to D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody led him to Christ. And this man was very happy. So he came home, and he talked to the neighbor, pastor, why didn't you share Jesus with me? He said, I didn't know that you will receive Jesus Christ, and I don't want to offend you. That's why I didn't tell you. That is the wrong thing. People love you or they hate you. It is your duty to tell them about Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter who that person is. Sometimes people are afraid. Oh, I have a friend, and if I share Jesus with this person may not like me, and he will dump me. That is much better to dump now than dump later. You have to tell the person what I believe. I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You tell them what your denomination is. There are people, when they get married, they say, oh, I'm a Salvation Army and you're Pentecostal. I do this and we do this and you don't do this and we don't. They were fighting. Somebody marries Democrat to Republican. They said, oh, I'm Democrat and you're Republican and we do this and we did that. And there is a war in the house. When you are born again, child of God, you have to tell somebody, I'm born again. You cannot lie. You cannot hide. You have to tell from the mountaintop. Let the whole world know what you believe in. If they hate you, Jesus Christ says, rejoice if they hate you, because you got a chance to testify about Jesus Christ. They hated him, they killed him, they destroyed him, but third day, he rose again. We are living in this world, and we have eternal life. We are nothing to be worried. If somebody kills me today, I go to heaven. Why should I worry? I lived this long, and I should be happy and grateful. I'm not worried that if I tell somebody about Jesus and they will do some harm to me. I went to places where nobody can go. I'm not saying nobody would go, but nowadays nobody will go. I went to Hindu temple, Muslim mosque, and different places where they invited me. I didn't go by force. They invited me to preach the gospel to them. The point I'm making, we have to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Now this man thinks, I'm a good man and nothing wrong with me and I will go to heaven. But let me ask Jesus Christ, what is he talking about neighbor? Is he talking about neighbor means next door neighbor? Or is he talking about coming from the different language person? Or is he talking about the different culture person? Or is he talking about different religion person? I want to know what Jesus Christ is thinking. So Jesus Christ gives him an example. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, starting from verse 30.
And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead.
Now he gives an example. He says the man was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. And there might be some mountains or caves, some things like that. The thief might be hiding. It's not one, but thieves. And so those people came, robbed him, took his garment, wounded him, made him half dead. And the man is lying on the street. And he might be in severe pain, maybe crying and weeping and asking help. And so this is the condition Jesus Christ is describing. This is the way this man was suffering on the street. And he says, now certain people came. Let's read verse 31.
And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Now he said, by chance means this priest was not going that way purposely, but accidentally this man was going. Why this happened? Sometimes something happens and we don't know why this happens. Now if this man, a priest walking on that way, he should be thinking, when I'm coming this way, I never planned to go this way. And when I saw this man lying here, maybe God sent me for the right time to help this man. Otherwise, why should be I'm coming this way, I never planned? Because he says, it just so happened. Man was not planning. The priest didn't have any appointment. When he's going that way, and then he sees the man lying on the street and in pain, maybe naked and having some problems. So this, just like a left-hand side, he's lying down. So he just switched to other way and walked away. Let's read following, verse 32.
And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side.
Now he said there was another Levite. Now priests and Levites, they are coming in a religious family. From Levites, the priest comes. And the Levites has a different jobs, but all those jobs they do, tabernacle job, or doing the Lord's services. Now this man is lying and suffering. Priest came, saw him, turn other way, and walk other way. Levites comes, that's the same. Now, godly people supposed to help ungodly people. We don't know this man who was there was a priest, Levites, Pharisees, or Sadducees. We don't know who the man was. Just a certain man. But both people walked away. Now the third person comes. Read verse 33.
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
Now, again, this Samaritan man's name is not given. But I believe this Samaritan is not an ordinary man. He is a businessman. He has the money in his pocket. He has the oil with him. He had the wine with him. And so this man is a businessman traveling. But see, thief did not come to rob this Samaritan. God protected this Samaritan, even though he had the money. He had everything, and he is going for a business trip. Somebody says, why in the world that other man got robbed and had a problem? We don't know. But only thing I can tell you, if you are a child of God, you have the protection of God. Book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says, when you are born again, you have the protection of the angels. If you are a born again child of God, you have protection by the blood of Jesus Christ. God keeps the hedge of protection over you. You go on highways and byways, and people are dying. If you read the 91 Psalms, what he says? Because you live under the shadow and under the wings of Almighty God. So we have protection. We don't know this Samaritan was a godly man. But he had compassion. When you have compassion, that means you love. Only God inspires you to love somebody. With this Samaritan man, didn't care this man was a Jewish man, he was a rabbi, he was a priest, or he was a Pharisee, he didn't care. He only knew this man needs my help. If I don't help this man is going to die. If some people falling in the well and he is dying, somebody comes and say, hey, are you sleeping or something? Sleepwalking? Why did you fall on there? Next time when you walk, walk properly. That's not going to help that man. Somebody comes and say, hey, do you have still strength? I'm going to give you a rope. Hold on to the rope and come. And now he says, if I hold the rope, I don't have a strength. And all of a sudden, if I lose the rope, I will go in the deep water and I'll be dead. So he says, sir, I'm sorry. I have no strength to hold the rope. A third person comes and he sees the person in danger. This person jumped inside, got wounded, put that person on his shoulder and came out and rescued the man. Now if you ask somebody, who was the person rescued the man? The person who put his life in danger. That is Jesus. Jesus Christ came. He did not say to the people, why did you commit sin? Why don't you live a clean and holy life? Why you don't worship God? Jesus said, I did not come for righteous people. I came for sinners. Why? Because he knew if I give my life for sinners, and if they invite me into their hearts, I will give them supernatural power and they will live clean and holy life. Without Jesus, no one can live holy life. No one can live victorious life. So here Jesus Christ is giving an example. The third man came, verse 34.
And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him.
Now see what he did. First of all, he has to come out of the horse. A beast said it's another donkey, can be horse. Came out of the horse. And then what he does, he clean his wounds with the oil and wine and put some bandages and give his own beast. He did not say, oh, this man is messy, his blood is flowing, and my horse will be ugly and dirty. I cannot give him ride. But he gave his own horse and he took care of him. And now he's bringing him to the hotel. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 35.
And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.
Verse 34, he says, this Samaritan took care of him, and then he takes to the hotel. Maybe he got another extra room for him, and he paid for the hotel. That night, that man may be serving him whole night, taking care of him, comforting him, and then next day, this man is going for his journey. So this Samaritan saying to this hotel manager, or the landlord, whoever the man was, he's saying, you know what, I'm giving you 2 denaries. Now, King James, he says pence. But if you read in a New King James, it says 2 denarii. Now, 2 denarii is a very expensive item he gave. How do you know? Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 20 and verse 2.
And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard.
Now, here also it says penny. You have to read in a New King James. He says he agreed to them a denarii. Now, 1 denarii is the whole day's salary. That's what the point I'm bringing. that one denarii was enough for the whole wages of whole day. So this man gives to the hotel manager 2 denarii. He says, whatever you spend, more than this, when I'll come back, I will pay you more. So this man had a compassion. He was not just saying, I'm going to take care of this man for a few minutes, and when I go, I don't care what happened to him. He did not want this man to die, this man to suffer. So he said, okay, I gave you money for 2 days. Within 2 days, I'll be back. And if in case you spend some more money, I will give it to you. So this is the real love, real compassion, and real Christian attitude. Now, this example, Jesus Christ gave it to him, to this lawyer, and then asked him the question, what do you think? Let's read verse 36.
Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise.
Now you tell me, that 3 people went by, who is this man's neighbor? Then this lawyer says, well, whoever showed compassion, love, mercy, I think that's the person should be called his neighbor. Even though he was not a real neighbor, but that's the attitude you should have with anyone. Because anyone you see, that is your neighbor. Not only person lives next door to you. It can be black, it can be white, it can be Spanish, it can be different language, it can be coming from different countries. That person is human being. That person is made according to God's image. We should not be hating anyone because of language, color, or nationality. We are God's children. God has created us according to His image. So we cannot despise the image of God. We should love that person and bring that person to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When we're telling somebody about Jesus Christ, we are not trying to deceive them. We are not trying to tell them your religion is bad. We are not telling them your language is bad. We are not telling them you are coming from the bad country. We are telling them you are the child of God. God has created you with a purpose. And you don't know how to worship Him, but I know how to worship Him because I gave my life to Jesus, and Jesus Christ died for the whole world. And if you don't know Him, you should know Him. You should have the relationship with Jesus Christ. Then you will know the secret of Christ. Once you know Jesus Christ, then you are going to love Him. Some people say, oh, I wanted Jesus Christ Irish. I want Jesus Christ be Italian. I wanted Jesus Christ be Spanish. How about you? I say, sir, I don't care what language and what country Jesus Christ came from. He died for me. He gave His last drop of blood for me. And that's what counts. There is not a single person, I'm talking about the indifferent religion, who gave his life for mankind. There are some people gave their life as politicians for the country, or soldiers for the country. But they cannot be our saviors. Why? Because each and every person who lived in this earth, we are all sinners. And sinner cannot save another sinner. Jesus Christ is the only one sinless. He never committed sin. So God wanted somebody to die for the ungodly people, and Jesus Christ died for us. Otherwise, we would have been dead and gone. Jesus Christ rescued us, saved us, and gave us eternal life. And that's what Jesus Christ was telling this man. Just like the house on fire. You cannot just stand there and have fun. Look at this beautiful firework. You will be guilty if you did that. Your job is to calling 911. Your job to trying to rescue the people from inside. And that's what we have to do. The whole world is on fire. People are dying without God and without Christ. It is our duty to rescue them and tell them Jesus is the answer. There is none like Jesus. And that's what Jesus Christ was trying to say. Now Jesus says, that good Samaritan did a good things, and you said this is the right man, he did the right thing. Then Jesus Christ says, you go and do likewise. You want to go to heaven? You do what the Samaritan did. Now just think, you are a Christian. Are we doing the things what Samaritan did? He was nobody to him. He went out of his way to help. Out of his way. He put his life in danger. Now just think, the Samaritan was helping the man who was dying. And just think that somebody came and said, I want to see who is helping that man. We are going to kill him too. This has happened just like if you witness about somebody, that person is bad, then some mafia comes to kill you because you're going to go to court and give witness about this person. But this person, this good Samaritan, was not afraid. I don't care what happened to this man. He was fighting with somebody, or somebody had a grudge on him, or somebody killed him with a purpose, and they might be looking for his friends and relatives, and they might be coming and killing me too. He didn't care. He just wanted to help this man, to rescue this man. So what the Word of God is saying, if you want to do something good, you can put your life on the line for the truth, and God will help you. God is watching what you're doing. Are we doing something good? Or are we hurting somebody? Or are we living life, a selfish life? This man went out of his way, cleaning this man. Just think, that man had a three-piece suit and a white suit. This man is in a dirt. He has to pick him up. He has to put oil on him, put alcohol, and wipe him off. So he has to tear some of the cloth and bandage, make a bandage out of his shirt or whatever the cloth he had, and put him on his own horse and take him there and stay overnight taking care of him. Only good people, godly people will do that. That's why some Christian people go to un-Christian countries and give their life to Christ. I heard other day, one minister went to this uncivilized people. They live naked and things like that, and they killed him. But his son took the plane, went back to the same place, and now there are so many people, Christian, and they made a movie recently. The point I'm making, people are giving life for Christ, and the people who killed them, father or mother or their relatives, they're forgiving them and giving their life, putting their life on the line and preaching the gospel, bringing those people to Christ. We have to learn like a good Samaritan. We want to go and help somebody, go out of our way to bring that person to Christ. That's why Jesus Christ says, if your enemy hungry, feed him. You remember that one man came to rob the lady, an old lady? And she says, Sonny, sit down here. You might be needing a breakfast. And she served the breakfast. And this man was very happy. And he said, you showed me so much love. I came here to rob you, but I'm not going to rob you. God changed the life. There was another lady. One person came. She was just shopping. And he put the gun and said, drive me here and drive me there. And that lady was a Christian lady. She put a Bible tape, a CD or something, and this man never heard the message. He started hearing the message of God. He wanted to rape this lady. He wanted to kill this lady, and he did not do it. This man said, because of you, because of your love, now I'm a Christian today. And so this is what we have to do. There are people trying to kill us, trying to destroy us, trying to take the Christian name out of the country, out of school and everywhere. There are certain things they are changing in the Bible also. The point I'm making there are people are against Christ and against Christianity. But we have to know what is our part, how we can reflect Christ to them. This man realized that Jesus told him, okay, go and do likewise. And the man didn't have any questions. Now the subject changes. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38.
Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house.
Martha invites Jesus Christ. Jesus, could you come to my house? Jesus said, okay, you invited me, I'll be in your house. When you invite somebody to your house for dinner or lunch, that means you are ready to suffer. It's not easy. Other day, one lady was saying they had a guest, and her husband says, cook this, 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 this. And her mother says, cook this, 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 this. Mother is no help to her. Husband is not help to her. And she said, I went to the funeral. I'm coming from the funeral, and half days is gone, and now the guest comes, and I have to do several things. She said, without complaint, I did both things. Try to do what my husband wanted, try to do what my mother wanted. Now the Martha story, you invite somebody to your house, you should have everything ready. And you should not be complaining. When I was in India, and people invite me into their house, and when they invite, the ladies will be cooking. They cook so many dishes, and some other people are sitting, and I say, where is your wife? And where is that person? Oh, they are cooking. I say, bring them here. I don't want your food. Listen to the word of God. Otherwise, your food will be poison to me. I came here to give the word of God. I didn't come to eat your food. If you invited me, you should be cooking ahead of time. Don't cook when somebody is preaching in your house. And one person invited me. He cooked the food ahead of time because he knew I would not eat anybody's food if they're not attending the service. And so he prepared everything ahead of time, and he was sitting in the service, and his wife was sitting in the service. When I was preaching, I said, smoking, drinking, and all kinds of sin I start telling is not good. This man stood and said, Pastor Peter, stop. I said, what is it? Don't talk about smoking and drinking. I said, sir, I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus wants your heart, clean heart. He wants to come into your heart. Your body is the temple of God. He said, don't preach like that. I said, okay, because I'm in front of your door, I cannot say anything, yes or no. I had my cards. I gave it to everybody cards, and I said, my church is so-and-so place. This man invited me into his house to preach, so I preached, but he doesn't want me to preach about this, so I'm going to stop. And I gave my cards to everybody, and I stopped the preaching, and there was another brother with me. And I said, okay, sir, and thank you for inviting. And we start going. Say, where are you going? We invite you for dinner. I said, sir, if you don't want the word of God, if you don't want the word of God to preach, your food is poison to me. I did not come to eat your food. I did not go house to house for begging for food. So I said, I'm sorry, I cannot eat your food. So I had another brother. I said, well, you go and eat. He said, no, if you're not eating, I cannot eat. So we left. That sounds rude. I did not eat, so they were very disappointed. I left. That same night, the lady got a dream, and Jesus Christ woke her up. And she woke up, and Jesus had a big stick in his hand, and there was a statue. He showed her a statue with a full of jewelry. And then he starts showing the statue and showing the stick to the statue and to the lady. And she's saying, why Jesus is showing me that statue with, she didn't have the statue in her house, but the statue with the full of jewelry, and the lady had the full of jewelry. She can only think, oh, statue and I had the same jewelry. But why God is showing the statue? God was saying, see this statue? Has a full of jewelry and everything, but no life. It's an idol. And you are just like an idol. So you are like a dead person. She got scared. She woke up her husband. She said, man of God came to our house and went without eating our food. And you stop him preaching. Now God is going to kill us. So she said, I'm taking all my jewelry. And you bring your cigarette and throw it out. And let's kneel down and pray and ask God forgiveness what we did to the man of God. And they confessed their sins. They gave their life to God. And so it happened I was going in that street to preaching to some other. The lady says, Pastor Peter, please come here. I'm not coming. I'm just going, oh, please come. I have a good news. I went there. She said, my husband gave up the smoking and drinking. And I gave up this jewelry. I want to dedicate all this jewelry to the church. Because I'm not going to wear anymore. God showed me that that idol has so many jewelry and that idol was dead and we were spiritually dead. Could you baptize us? We want to be saved and we want to be a member of your church. And they came, baptized, became a believer. I was fasting whole day. I was hungry myself, but I did not care for their food. Jesus Christ says, what is my food? The preaching the word of God is my food. And I learned from Jesus. If I go to somebody's house and they don't sit in the meeting and they cook in the kitchen, I say, stop everything. Listen to the word of God. Otherwise, don't invite me. Martha invited Jesus Christ. Now see what she's doing. Let's read the verse 39. Luke 10, 39.
And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
Mary came. Now she's listening to Jesus. And I believe many people might be there because when somebody ministers come to your house and you tell everybody, pastor is coming to my house and we have a special prayer meeting. So many people might be there. So Jesus Christ is preaching. Mary sitting there and listening. But Martha, now Martha is missing what Jesus Christ is saying. She's supposed to say, okay, let's listen. Let's have a prayer meeting first and then we will make food. Or let's cook the food first and then invite Jesus Christ so I will have a chance to listen. Martha cooking so many dishes and so busy, so everybody will have sympathy towards Martha. Poor lady, working hard, she wants to feed Jesus. Jesus said, hey, I fed people with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 5,000 people. I'm not worried about food. God supplies our need. Why are you worried about food? So here comes Martha. Go ahead, verse 40.
But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.
Now she's coming and blaming Christ. Don't you care about me? Mary was helping me in cooking. As soon as she saw you, she came and sat here, and she left me alone, and now I'm worried, and you never cared about me. You didn't say to Mary, why didn't you finish helping Martha? And then you both of you can come. Now she came and left everything to me. And you don't care about me. What Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, okay, Mary, your sister needs you. Could you please go and help her? That's what she wanted. Because she might have said to Mary, Mary, please stay here. Help me. She would have said, no, I want to listen to Jesus. Let's go and listen. She said, no, we have to cook. She didn't listen to Martha. The Mary did the right thing. Martha was angry at Mary. She might have said, stay here. She said, no, I'm not going to stay. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to sit with Jesus. Now she said, I'm going to go and complain to Jesus. So Jesus will say, Mary, go. But see what Jesus answers. Let's read verse 41.
And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.
See what he's saying? Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled. What do you mean careful? Means you're worrying about so many things and that troubles you. Means your heart is in trouble. You have no peace. You are thinking, what kind of dish I make? Do you think Jesus will like this dish? Do you think this food will be good? Do you think this food will be cooked on time? All kinds of things in your mind. You are worrying about so many things and your heart is troubled. What Jesus Christ is saying? Our heart should not be troubled. We should have peace. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world. Once you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, you have peace. Peace about everything. I'm not worried about tomorrow because Jesus is with me. Let's read the 42.
But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
He says, there is only one thing is good. What is that one thing? He said, but the Mary has chosen. Now somebody says, but Jesus didn't tell us. What is that one good thing? And Mary has chosen. What she chosen? She chosen Jesus Christ. She said, I want Jesus. I want his words. His words has life. He gives me eternal life. He gives me peace. I want Jesus. And so he says, one thing you need. Go to the Matthew chapter 6. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, starting from verse 25.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
This is one thing you need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things, what? The Gentiles are seeking. Seeking for good cars, seeking for good husband, seeking for food, seeking for worldly things, seeking to go to foreign countries and visit so many things. All of these things heathens are looking for. God says, I know what you need. I will supply your needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. This is not my word. This is Jesus' word. And if you read the verse 34, he says, why you worry about tomorrow? Today already you have a problem.
Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Already you have evil all around you. You cannot handle that. Why you want tomorrow's evil, tomorrow's problem? Handle today's problem. Give it to the Lord. Lord, today I'm alive. Thank God that I am alive. And you are going to give me grace to handle today's day. I'm going to start with Christ. Before you get up from your bed, as soon as you get up, say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God that you are alive. I do the same. As soon as I get up, before I put my foot on the floor, I thank God that I'm alive. I thank God that God kept me whole night. And say, Lord, I don't know what this day is holding, but I need your grace to do everything for today. So the word of God saying, today already evil all around you. Today's care, put in the hand of God and seek the Lord first today. He will give you grace for today. Don't worry for tomorrow. Tomorrow's things will be always there for tomorrow. And I always say, tomorrow will be always there. Tomorrow. Don't worry for tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Do you know? Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. Somebody say, oh, tomorrow comes. No, I'll prove it to you. Today I don't have $100, but tomorrow I will give you $100. And I put the board there. Tomorrow I'll give you $100. No date, just the word tomorrow. And you come and say, Pastor Peter, you promised me he'll give you $100 tomorrow. Yes, I will. Read the sign. Tomorrow I'll give it to you. So you come back tomorrow, I show the same sign. So I will never give you $100, and tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So there was a sign. One minister put the sign. He says, today talk about Jesus. Tomorrow, money, talk tomorrow. So the man listens to everything and comes. I said, I want to have some money. He said, talk about Jesus today. Tomorrow, we'll talk about money. So the man comes every day. He has to come tomorrow again for money. Today we are talking about Jesus. So that's the way it is. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. Today is the day God has given to us. You spend that day with Jesus and say, Lord, I cannot handle all of these things. He said, okay, I'll take care of you. If you put me first in your life, you got some time today, put your time aside and sit with me and pray with me. Put your time first for Christ. Put your money first for Christ. Put everything what you can do for Christ first. Then all other things will be added unto you. That lawyer, he told him, what you do? Love the Lord first and love your neighbor. And here Martha, he's saying, don't worry about food. Worry about God. So what are we learning? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto us. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we will not be able to take anything. But the time you have given to us in this world to find out about our eternal life, love the Lord and follow the Lord. The people we see today, tomorrow, they won't be here. But Lord Jesus, give us grace to love them, show them the love of Christ, and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves into your loving hands. Be with us, sanctify us, use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.